With your money briefing, I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. Buckle your Wall Street seatbelts. Industrial and tech corporate earnings reports are likely to send investors on a wild ride for the rest of January. We'll have details in a moment. First, these money and market stories you should know. Existing home sales fell 6.4% in December from the previous month to their weakest level in more than 3 years. Economists said that broader anxiety about the stock market and volatile political news helps explain why buyers reacted so strongly to the rise in mortgage rates, which remain low by historical standards. That suggests that even if mortgage rates ease, there's unlikely to be a return to the frenzied market of early last year. And Wall Street Journal reporter Gabriel Rubin outlined significant ways the month-old government shutdown has affected the business and financial sectors. For one, the Bitcoin futures trading platform known as BACT cannot launch its contracts until the Commodity Futures Trading Commission issues comments on its business plan. Much of the commission's staff has been furloughed. Also, companies that issue product recalls can't connect with the Consumer Product Safety Commission, which usually spreads the word about the recalls and monitors how the recall is implemented. And the airlines are feeling the pinch, too, and it's not because of TSA agents staying home from work. Delta Airlines says the shutdown would cost the company $25 million in lost revenue because most government employees aren't traveling. And Delta can't start service in its new Airbus A220 airplanes either. The shutdown has grounded the process of Delta getting approval from the FAA. It's the calm before and after the storm. The stock market volatility of the fourth quarter has been replaced by gains and relative tranquility since the start of the year. But on the horizon comes earnings reports from industrial and technology companies, and that could bring choppy waters back to Wall Street. Markets reporter Amrith Ramkumar is with us to explain. So Amrith, up until the third week of January, for many investors, it's been a very happy new year.
Absolutely. Like you mentioned, not only have stocks like gone up steadily last week, logging their best four-week stretch since 2011, really, since up through mid-January, it's been kind of steady, like you're saying. So the moves on an day-to-day basis have been much smaller, about 0.6% on average for the Dow and S&P 500 through mid-January in that latest two-week period. And that's a change because, like you were saying, last quarter, every day was almost a 1% average move in both directions and mostly down. So that really gave people whiplash and stoked some fears. So
kept us all at the office for long hours as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. The day-to-day action, like the Dow, for example, was dropped hundreds of points in minutes on occasion, and it really got a lot of people jittery. So far this month, that it has been calmer, but yeah, a lot of headwinds on the horizon for that with some of these bigger companies, and next week with the Fed meeting and jobs report as well.
Yeah, you know, some closely watched earnings reports coming from tech companies that are seen as a barometer of the broader economy.
Right, and those would be some of the chip companies that have been hardest hit by trade tensions because that business is so tied to China and global trade flows. So, you know, Intel and some of the companies like that reporting this week, and then looking ahead to next week, there's Apple after their really big revenue cut earlier this month, and then Amazon, and then Facebook, and then Alphabet the week after that. So definitely the tech side and also the industrial side. Obviously those manufacturing companies have kind of gotten it both ways because they've had higher input costs from some of the tariffs and have also been hit by fears that slowing global growth, and there have been new stories and data points about that almost every day. And so those companies were among the worst performers last quarter, and so far this year they've led the rebound. But today, Tuesday, after with traders coming back from the Martin Luther King holiday, I mean, those are the worst performers again. So those are, like you're saying, kind of a barometer of market sentiment on a day-to-day basis. And so them coming down was seen as pretty positive and good, but now we'll have to see how they react after earnings.
And there's also a group of industrial and manufacturing companies reporting that have been hit by tariffs, and success for them down the road could be levered to easing trade tensions between the U.S. and China.
Yeah, I think that's right. One of the factors that has broadly helped the market, again, we've had kind of the cautious comments from the Fed and the signs that the U.S. and China, both sides, are willing to compromise on trade ahead of this March 1st deadline. So, like, I think people are mostly looking at the commentary for forward projections from a lot of these companies to see how they're kind of approaching things, as this year looks really uncertain because we've had the IMF, the World Bank, lower their forecast for global growth for the year. China just reported its slowest annual growth from last year in a long time, like three decades or so. So there are a lot of warning signs for some of these companies. And the auto housing sectors, again, have been kind of the weak spots in the U.S. economy.
Yeah, a lot of plot twists in terms of the story of this economy going forward. And, you know, it's interesting, the stretch of time we're in really takes some homework on the part of the investor. As you point as you point out in your story in the journal, expectations are low, and results that Wall Street deems positive might otherwise be categorized as just mediocre. So you really do have to sort of put it into context and see where is it on the spectrum of numbers and what is actually spelling success now and in the future if you're going to put your investment money up against what's going on inside of a company.
That's a really good way to describe it. And like you're saying, it's fascinating because if you go back a quarter to last reporting season when valuations were still pretty high before the fourth quarter sell-off, companies that beat expectations weren't really rewarded as much in many cases. And then companies that missed expectations were often punished severely. But now, because valuations are so low, particularly in some of the sectors like financials and some of these others, people are saying that you have to look at the stock reaction, not necessarily the numbers. So for the big banks, but they had gotten rid of so cheap that even though like revenue missed, some of the profit beats and some of the more upbeat comments were enough to lift those stocks, even though, again, like trading revenue got a huge dent from last quarter's volatility. And some of the safer sectors, for example, that are also reporting in addition to tech and industrial, like healthcare, that like investors have been favoring because of their safety. Again, they have higher dividends, more stable earnings, but a slight beat or a miss might be different in that sector versus what we saw with the banks. So yeah, people are saying to definitely keep an eye on the stock reactions because that might tell more of the story with valuations changing so much on a day-to-day, week-to-week, and what we saw last quarter basis.
All right. Well, great reason to follow the storyline of the economy and various sectors from the markets team here at the Wall Street Journal, and also track the day-to-day stock movements on WSJ.com and the WSJ app as well. And that's our markets reporter, Amrith Ramkumar, joining us here in our studio. Amrith, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for The Wall Street Journal.